Welcome to Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God. My name is Corey Pritchard, and we will spend some time today making sure that we can get into some things that's really been on my heart. Okay, so during this time, I believe it is a great opportunity for an individual who is looking for something more. Maybe you've been asking for peace, joy. Maybe you're looking for something physically that's going on with you. Maybe there's something mentally as far as any kind of oppression that you may be dealing with, whatever the thing is, it doesn't matter. It is my pleasure and my opportunity to be able to spend this time with you. So the way that we'll begin is we want to make sure that we're very clear about who this is not for. OK, so if you're a person who is looking for a place to be entertained, right, looking for a place to be able to get some type of thing to be able to bicker and banter about, to be able to debate, something like that, this is not going to be for you. If you don't have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive, this is not going to be for you. Okay, so I want to be very candid about where I am with this. I don't have a religion. Okay, so this is not a case where I'm trying to convert you to any religion or sway you from any religion. You could be in any religion or religious type of expectation or identity right now, and you'll find that these words could be words that really resonate with you, right? They are something that are very satisfying and very attractive to you, right there, right in whatever experience that you have. So you don't have to change that identity in order to be able to decide if this is something that's for you or not. Or you could be an individual who has said that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Deep in religion, reading the Bible all the time, and everything I'm saying seems to rub you the wrong way, and you're just not interested in it. So the reality is that I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, okay? That is a real country. I also am under the government, okay, of the kingdom of God, and a part of the kingdom, okay? The kingdom of God is God's kingdom that's here on earth, and I take that very seriously. So when I'm dealing with this, the reality is there are God's children that are all over the planet, right? I don't know where you are, right? You can be in any place in the entire planet, in any place in the world. And the reality is that God's sheep are sprinkled throughout all types of places, different nations, different nationalities, different religions, right? And what I realize is my responsibility is just to sow the seed, okay? I don't tell you who's in and who's not, right? I don't tell you who this is for and who it's not. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to say what I've been given to say, okay? So if this is something that appeals to you, then this may be for you. So who is this for? It is for those who have ears to hear, right? Eyes to see, a heart to perceive. Those who been, you know, given the opportunity would want to convert, right? Those given the opportunity would repent in response to the reality of the kingdom of God. So the time that I'll spend with you today in this first episode is to make sure that you are getting a very good understanding of why this should be something that either is for you, right, or is not for you at all. And the way that we're going to do this is I'm kind of working through this reality. I had to come to this grips. This is just for myself recently. Often we can think that maybe there's something more than what Jesus Christ offered as far as, all this so-called deep revelation or understanding or ideas and all these types of things. And I had to stop and just pause and really understand. OK, and I'm saying super is natural in the kingdom of God. I want you to be able to accept the reality that in God's kingdom, that super should be our natural reality. OK, so think about a fish swimming in the water, right, at the high speeds that it's able to swim and maneuver. Is that really super, right, to see a fish doing what it does in its natural environment and atmosphere? I wouldn't say that's really super, okay? What about a bird in flight that is able to fly and soar and do all the things that the bird is able to do? It is captivating to watch, but is it really super, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are things that happen and there are things that are created and people that are created, and them doing what they do is natural. Now, if you saw a fish flying, right, or a bird swimming like a fish, then maybe that would be something that you would consider to be super. But the reality is that in its natural environment, then it is naturally super. OK, so I truly believe that we have the same experience in God, okay? That we were designed to be super in him, in the same way that a fish in its natural environment, which is the water, or a bird in its natural environment, which is the air, in the same way that the human being, I believe, in its natural environment, which is God, right? I believe God is our natural environment. Then we will do things that others could say were super, right? But it's natural for us, okay? So with that being said, then I thought about the life of Jesus Christ, and I realized that Jesus Christ preached the gospel of the kingdom of God to the masses, okay? And anybody, anywhere, you know, you can pick up a Bible and you can see that, but it's amazing that this man, he spoke to thousands of people, right? However many, you know, numbers of people at one time and throughout his entire ministry. And it said that he never spoke to those people in the masses outside of a parable. That's amazing to think about. They said he wouldn't do it. The only way that he would speak to the masses or preach to the masses was in parables, okay? And I think that there is something that's very unique and powerful in that I don't want to move past. One of the other things is that Jesus Christ sowed one seed, right? One seed throughout his entire ministry. And if that seed was good enough for Jesus Christ, I'd have to say it's good enough for me. And the seed that he sowed consistently was the kingdom of God, right? He is constantly sharing the reality that the kingdom of God is here. He is constantly demonstrating the reality that the kingdom of God is here. And he is constantly teaching, right, his disciples what has already taken place and what exists in the heavenly realm, right? Isn't that crazy? He said, hey, I'm telling you that I've been to the home country, which is heaven. And in my country, this is the way that things work. So let me show you. Let's look around and let's grab some things that I can give a comparison to here that maybe will help you be able to relate to me so that I can share with you what I've seen in my home country. This is the way it operates in my home country. In my home country, this is the way that we treat people. In my home country, this is the way things go, right? So he's constantly using parables and stories and comparisons and all types of things to articulate the reality of his kingdom. Okay, does that make sense? So when we're dealing with this kingdom reality, no different than any other country, when someone sees that there are benefits that they aren't currently getting in their natural country, the one that they were born in, then they say, hey, I'm very interested in gaining citizenship into that country. Now, does that mean that everybody wants citizenship in that country? No. But there are individuals that notice that there are benefits that they are not getting, things that they want and desire, and they're unwilling to live without, so they will give whatever it takes in order to be able to gain the citizenships. Why? They want the citizenship in order to get the benefits, okay? So with that being said, what I'd like to do is to make sure that we can go through a parable together. I'm not going to go through any depth of it. Why? I believe that this recording and these recordings after this will be for people that are maybe just trying to figure out, right, where is God? Right? Knowing that you want God, you've been looking for God your entire life. Maybe you look for God in the bars, right? Maybe you were looking for God in a crack house, which is crazy to think about. Like maybe you were looking for God in bad relationships. Maybe you were looking for God in drugs and alcohol, right? Maybe you were looking for God in churches, in some type of religious situation or expectation. Maybe you've been looking for God in witchcraft, which is crazy to even think about. Why would someone go into witchcraft looking for God, right? Maybe you're looking for God and you haven't been able to find what you've been looking for, right? Maybe you've settled for some of these things, but you know that it's not what it was that you sought out to look for, what you started out looking for, and you still have this innate craving on the inside of you for God, right? So the reason why I believe that this recording or these recordings are so powerful is because it gives you an opportunity to get past all the religious foolishness, right? All the things that, you know, the legalism and all those types of things, and really decide, do I want God? Do I want citizenship in his kingdom? Do I want the will of God to manifest in my life? Do I want the benefits that he promised to manifest in me and for my reality? And that's what you have to be able to decide for yourself, is that something that you are unwilling to live without? Okay, so what I'd like to do is read a parable. So Go along with me if you have a Bible. If you don't, no big deal, right? Because I'm going to read this straight from the Bible. This will be the King James Version. I suggest that if that doesn't really resonate with you for whatever reason, find another translation, okay? But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, okay? Now, this is the parable of the sower. Now, if you haven't heard this before, there are secrets that are packed in parables that were stored up from the foundation of the world. So from the very beginning, from the origin of humanity, from the origin of everything, then these were secrets that were packed from then, right? Stored up until Jesus Christ released them in these parables. So I don't take them lightly, okay? So with this parable, Jesus Christ says something very unique. And I'm actually going to go to another place. Let me actually go to Mark chapter number 4, and let's look at verse number 13, okay? And again, if you have a Bible, great. But Jesus says this very uniquely and specifically about the parable of the sower. He says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus Christ, and this is red letter, know ye not this parable, okay? Because he had already shared the parable of the sower with these individuals. And he said to them in their questioning about understanding what it is that Jesus Christ was looking to articulate in this parable. And he says, you don't know this parable? He says, know ye not this parable? He asked this question. And how then will you know all parables, right? So I start with this parable because Jesus Christ is very clear in saying that if you don't understand the parable of the sower and the intent and intention of the parable of the sower, then all the rest of the parables that I'm sharing with you, you're not going to be able to unpack them the way that you should. I literally look at the parable of the sower as like the, what is that thing called? The Rosetta Stone is what I call it. I call the parable of the sower the Rosetta Stone of all parables. Why? Because understanding it unlocks the rest of the parables so that you may have the best opportunity to be able to receive it out, okay? Receive what was taken out of it, okay? So with that being said, here's the parable. Okay, I'm going to begin with verse 1. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they wither away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell in good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him here, right? And I think that's a beautiful thing when we understand that Jesus Christ is very clear throughout his ministry that he is only speaking to those who already have the ability to be able to hear. Now, this was very difficult for me up until recently. Why? Because I would run into people who did not have ears to hear. It agitated them, right? And I want them to get it so bad that I continue to press. So it agitated me, right? But the reality is that if I have a person that lacks the ability to be able to see, then a long conversation with the blind person is not going to change their blindness, if that makes sense. If a person doesn't have any ears to hear, right, or the ability to be able to hear audibly, I can talk as loud as I want and scream as loud as I want, but that's not going to change the reality that that person lacks the ability to be able to hear. Does that make sense? So when I'm dealing with the reality that there are those who already have the ability to be able to hear what it is that Jesus Christ is saying, Now I have the pressure taken off of me. So all I have to do is focus on saying what he said, right? So if you're listening to this and it's a case where you're saying, well, I don't really understand the parable of the sower, but I want to know, right? And I believe that's the key ingredient, because the disciples said the same thing. I don't understand. People came to him right afterwards saying, can you unpack the parable? Can you give us the understanding, right? So that is where Jesus Christ now has the permission to be able to unpack it or to teach the individual. So with that being said, when I said to you that if it's good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. The reality is Jesus Christ went out teaching, right, and preaching, mostly again to the masses, preaching, sharing the great news of the kingdom of God and sharing it in parables. And that was enough to have all types of wonderful miracles that actually manifested. OK, so what I'll do is just briefly make sure that I am articulating this great gospel. Right. So some people would argue and say that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what's most important. Some people would say something about the gospel of grace or the gospel of love or the gospel of peace or the gospel of joy, right? And have all of these things. So here's my reality, okay? That it should be impossible for any individual to share the good news of Jesus Christ without sharing the good news that Jesus Christ shared. Do you see that? There shouldn't be any argument and there's no confrontation, because if I'm saying what Jesus Christ said, I am preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if I'm saying what he said, how would I not mention the kingdom of God? How is that even possible? If that makes sense, what I'm saying. Okay, so with that being said, your father's good pleasure was to give you the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus Christ said. It was his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. He says, fear not as a command, and calls that or those individuals his little flock. Okay, so the reality is there are sheep of God that are all over the planet that the words of Jesus Christ will draw, because he says that his sheep will hear his voice, and the words of a stranger they will not hear. Okay, so it's a case where maybe you are listening to this and maybe you've been run off from some religious person or institution or organization, and they called you a heathen or a backslider, called you a bad thing, right? And all those types of things. And maybe it's because you just didn't hear their voice, right? Maybe it's because they were not saying what the king said. They weren't truly representing the king. And maybe that individual rubbed you in a way that made it so you said, I can't follow you because you're not following my king, okay? So as it concerns the gospel of the kingdom of God, it doesn't begin in Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't begin there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and what we consider to be the Gospels, the New Testament. No, the kingdom of God is original, right? It's old. It actually begins in the book of Genesis. Okay, so the reality is that it starts as man's origin story. This is your origin story. So if you've seen, you know, these different superhero movies and different movies that they will show you this great superhero or this great character, and it's not until, you know, three or four episodes in or you know, down the line in part number three or four that they actually show you the origin, right, or the beginning. And the reality is that you've lived your life possibly without your origin story. And our origin story begins in the Garden of Eden. The reality is that God breathed into the breath of Adam, right, the breath of life. And he was an animated, right? Animated with dirt as far as his body. And when God breathed into his nostrils, then the Spirit of God actually animated and created something that had not been created before. And that is Adam, or man. And that's who you are. That's where we came from. It's an entire species, very unique, made in the image and likeness of God. Okay, so when we're dealing with this reality, God gave this man as stewardship over everything on the earth. That's what he desired. God wanted to have this visible man to be able to represent him on earth in a way that nothing else could. And he had angels, right? He had all these things. God wanted, again, an expression of himself, right? Some man or an entity made in his image and his likeness. So that's where we are, okay? So the beauty is that God gave Adam the entire planet to steward. God also gave Adam the ability to be able to connect with heaven, which is the home country, right? And have those benefits to be able to manifest on earth, which is the reality of the kingdom of God that begins in the heart or the inside of Adam. But that is supposed to ooze from him and flow from him. And it should be the manifestation of heaven on earth from heaven, on earth from Adam, if that makes sense. Okay. So when we're dealing with all of these realities, look at it this way. Okay. That you are looking at Adam as king, right? Not capital K-I-N-G overall, but lowercase king on the earth. And that's what God desired. God desired to have a king that is stewarding and ruling and reigning over the earth. Have dominion, right? This is the command that he gives to Adam. So he is speaking to us, to you through Adam. This is your reality and existence. Again, this is your origin story. So for a number of people, they're aware that Adam had a temptation, you know, that happened. He had obviously Eve that was pulled from him. She was tempted by the adversary, by the devil, to be able to take on, you know, this temptation to take the fruit, took a bite of it. And it was a temptation to have this knowledge, right? To eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the amazing thing is there's a tree of life that's there also. But she wasn't tempted, right, to eat of the tree of life. She was tempted to eat of the tree of good and evil. But with that being said, when Adam accepted the invitation that his wife gave him and actually partook of that tree. Now what happened is that Adam, he is still in existence, right? And God promised that if he did eat of this tree, that he would surely die, right? And obviously, Satan, if you want to look at that, you can look at Genesis chapter 3, is that he says you won't surely die, but he did, right? Now he existed. But what happened is that the spirit of God that dwelled in him, because Adam's physical body was the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the spirit of God, and that temple resided on earth, right? It's a powerful thing when we understand the temple that God wanted was not a building, right? All those shiny buildings, all these different temples and things that people think that God wanted. No, God showed us the temple that he wanted, and he wanted Adam, okay? And that's where he chose to dwell in. So when that happened, then the separation took place, right? So what happened? The spirit of God leaves him. So life leaves him. He's disconnected from heaven. He's still existing. And his kingship is forfeited, right? His right to have dominion on behalf of earth, or sorry about that, to have dominion on behalf of heaven, it has been removed, okay? Again, this is your origin story. So now from that moment forward, then we have additional lines that have gone forward. And to be honest with you, none of those are bearing the true and full image and likeness of God until Jesus Christ. So until Adam, right? Until Jesus Christ, the last Adam, then there's not this perfect image and likeness of God that God desired. Okay. So when we're dealing with these realities, then you should say, man, this makes sense, right? There are people who want righteousness, and there are some that do not want righteousness. There are people that want the will of God and some that do not want the will of God, okay? So the reality is that from the moment that Adam declared independence, right? And that's what exactly what he did. He wrote a declaration of independence with his mouth, which separated himself and made it so he had to be responsible for caring for himself. Right. Having his own ideas. Right. Trying to figure things out. All of those types of things. So from Adam, first Adam to the last Adam, there's a bunch of crazy stuff that's gone on and none of those things that God intended. So when we're talking about these prophets, OK, these people that God spoke to and they're talking about this coming king, why were people so excited? The king is coming. Right. Why were people so excited? The kingdom is coming. Right. Why was there such a great excitement about this kingdom returning and this king coming, right? Why was this such good news? Why? Because sickness had come in, depression had come in, right? War had come in, all types of horrible things had come in and people were being used to hurt themselves, right? So the adversary will actually use you to hurt you. Isn't that crazy to think about? Use you to hurt you, and he also uses you to hurt other people, and he also uses them to hurt you, right? So you have this big tornado of horrible things that's been going on. So this anticipation for the coming of the kingdom and the king, it is great. Why? Because there is no rescue for humanity outside of the return of the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. There is no rescue. Men are dead, right? Spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. No matter how righteous and holy that a person may think that they are, Jesus Christ says that he is the way. There is no other way but through Jesus Christ to the Father and to eternal life. He is also the way, right? He's the way, he's the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life, right? So that means that there may be other promoted or advertised ways, lives, right? And truths, but none are thee, okay? So the great news is that when you're listening to a program like this, if that's what you've been looking for, then your entire eternity can change. Not just your life will have a great transformation, but your entire eternal existence begins to completely be revolutionized when you are able to hear this great news of God's return to the kingdom of God. Okay, so with that being said, then if you have been dealing with whatever it is that you've been dealing with, okay, so you came on here and hope is extremely important, but maybe it is a case where you know that there was something that could happen if you could just get to that, right? Whatever that is, then you knew that your situation would change. So maybe it's something health-wise that you're dealing with your heart or with your kidneys, right? With your pancreas or with something with your bones, right? Maybe it's your brain. Maybe it's something mentally you're dealing with, right? Maybe it's been some demonic oppression that you've been dealing with, possession that you've been dealing with, right? Can't sleep, can't have peace. You got thoughts that are not yours, right? I don't know what it is, and it really doesn't matter. And that's what I love about the kingdom of God. Why? Because it is the solution, okay? So if you can get this picture, Jesus Christ is a syringe, okay? He is the mode or method of administration that God desired for you to have. The kingdom of God is the medicine or panacea. It is what God desired to be the solution to whatever it is that his kids may have that ail them, and he's going to administer it through Jesus Christ. And the hand or the glove is the Holy Spirit, right? It's the glove or hand of God that's able to do that, but it won't do it without your permission, okay? So with that being said, I'm calling you to give you an opportunity to repent in response to the reality that God's kingdom is here. You know the behavior. You know the things that are contrary to the will of God. I don't have to mention those. So I'm giving you the opportunity to do that now. Call it out right now before God. And I want you to know that you can convert, right? So when you deal with countries, conversion is important. So it's not just about knowing the idea that you weren't supposed to have and doing the things that you weren't supposed to do. It's more than that, okay? It is about you being willing to be completely immersed and consumed with God's kingdom, right? So don't just dip your toe in the water. No, go jump in head first and allow the kingdom of God to completely immerse you, and you'd be saturated with the will of God, right? In his kingdom, in his culture, in his will, and to be governed by the kingdom. That's where the conversion comes in. So I would have to say, if you're listening to this, it's a great possibility that that's for you, okay? And it's a beauty that you can have this repentance, which you should have already done, right, or should be doing now in response to the reality of God's kingdom. And then you say, God, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want that. I want your citizenship. And the beauty is that we can't see the kingdom of God and we can't enter into the kingdom of God unless we're born again. So all you have to do is understand is that your rebirthing, you being born brand new and being something new as a spirit being on the inside, can happen right now as I'm speaking to you. And what you have to do is just confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. State out loud and actually believe it in your heart that he was the Son of Man and he was risen from the dead. Isn't that powerful? Also say, God, I want you to fill me and dwell me and baptize me with your spirit. Ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and thank God, right, for allowing him to make it so you can come into his kingdom. OK, so with that being said, then whatever it is you're dealing with, I am telling you that you are whole. It's up to you to believe it. So demon, I speak to you. I command you go and do not return. Pain, sickness, disease, I command you go, do not return. I am calling you whole now. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and I call your sins forgiven and remitted. Okay? So I look forward to seeing you guys on our next episode. Have a great day.